Everybody, this is Pam, and you're listening to episode 106 of the podcast Women Who Stutter, Our Stories. That can be found on the blog Make Room for the Stuttering, and it's also available freely as a download on iTunes. Today, I'm excited to be able to speak with yet another amazing woman who's going to share parts of her story. So I want to say hey to Amy. Hey, Amy, how's it going?
Hi, Pam Mertz. I'm good. Thank you.
It's nice meeting you finally, and I'm excited about having you as a guest on the show.
Me too. Me too. It's the right time in my life to do this. So I'm excited about it as well.
Oh, okay, great. Well, to get us started, would you mind introducing yourself to the listeners, who you are and where you're from and what you do to keep yourself busy?
Yeah, okay. Hi, my name is Amy, and obviously I'm a person who stutters. I live in Georgia. I'm originally from Indiana, outside of the Chicago area. We moved here about 5 years ago, and I'm a mother of a daughter who's nearly two. And in my free time recently, I chase around sippy cups and blankets. other than that, I like to read, and I like to hang out with my husband and try to get my daughter a good childhood, really.
Okay, awesome. Well, it sounds like you have a lot on your plate and that you're busy as a mom.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about stuttering. How long have you stuttered?
Well, I turn 39 in November, and from what my parents tell me, I started to stutter as soon as I really began to speak. So around 2 to 3 years old.
Okay. And did you have any speech therapy when you were young?
Do you know, my dad is a person who stutters also. So in terms of speech therapy, I actually didn't start it until second grade. My mother kept asking the school, does she need speech therapy? And they kept telling her that I would outgrow it.
Oh.
Yeah, and so here we are.
here we are 30 plus years later. And
yes. And so I basically started a speech therapy in second grade then, mm-hmm, through elementary school. And I stopped in sixth grade. I moved to a new school. And then I, in eighth grade, I was having a hard time. And it, like, occurred to me, like, wow, yeah, that schools have these services. I can actually get help. So then, excuse me, I went and I requested speech therapy, and I started again in high school, and I went on through ninth through 12th grade. So which is actually weird because I don't think it really helped in high school. Now that I look back, it wasn't really structured, and I didn't have a real therapist. She didn't have a real plan, I guess. So,
did she have experience with stuttering though? Because I've heard a lot of public school speech therapists don't always have experience with stuttering.
The interesting thing is she has a son who stutters. I will say the interesting thing, looking back now and being older and understanding stuttering more, is that she did have me do positive affirmations. And I remember at the time thinking, what is this? I mean, a young girl, like, what's this? And now, though, I really do understand her goal. And she just she didn't have a, I mean, I learned prolongation and I learned easy onsets. But I don't know if I didn't apply them or I didn't learn them. I don't know what happened. But it's actually maybe I didn't do my end. I don't know really.
What do you mean by positive affirmations? You said that she made you do them. Can you give me an example?
Yeah, like she would have me write on note cards positive things about myself, or like goals, like if an affirmation of I am a good person, I'm a strong person, things like that. And so I think she was actually tapped into something that I understand now is really, really important. Maybe I didn't do enough work. I don't know. I really don't know.
Mm-hmm. So it sounds like maybe she was trying to attack, like, not attack, but, mm-hmm. You know, help you work on, like, attitude and esteem.
Yes, definitely. And her and I actually built somewhat of like a good relationship where I could actually tell her things, and she would give me advice even if they weren't speech related. Like, she loved me and I loved her back.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, but the like, I don't remember practicing speech a lot.
So you were working on fluency shaping and like fluency targets and mm-hmm. and stuff.
Right. I mean, randomly, like, we really, either I don't remember it, or I didn't try hard, or she didn't teach it. I don't know. Now I do know. I do know these skills though through like elementary school. I just think I had a really hard time applying them in the real world, is which we all know is like the problem. So yeah, I had speech therapy through high school, and I actually went to speech therapy in college also for about I would go on and off. There was actually a time, like, I think about this now and I'm like, oh, geez. But I had gone through a period a period of fluency, and they celebrated it in a way of like me being cured, okay?
Okay.
And they had me go and have a big speech and blah, 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 blah. And it was nice and all, except like a month later, it completely crashed, right? So, I've had speech there. I've had many, many years of speech therapy. I'm like I've tried everything. So,
And what was your goal in trying everything? I mean, were you trying to attain that fluency?
definitely. I didn't understand stuttering first of all. I believed if I worked hard enough, I could actually cure this. So I went through bouts of depression pretty hardcore because for years and years and years I had remained covert, and that took a toll on me. So much that people in high school, they didn't know I stuttered. So then I started college, and you're thrown into a new environment, a bunch of new people, and that's when my speech really began to break down. I don't believe I had hardcore secondary behaviors at that point. It wasn't until the very end of college where I was stuttering, and I was stuttering a lot. And I also had gone through periods of fluency too, that weird, like a month here or a week here. But in general, I don't know if I began to stutter more, or just that my ability to hide it faltered. I don't know. So up until I was probably 20, I don't know. I think a lot of times people who stutter think that they're covert, and they really aren't. I don't know. Okay. There was a time though I made a decision. I mean, I had graduated from college. I had a bachelor's in psychology. It's the one thing I really love, and it's the one thing I know, and I love it. And the plan had been to go to be a psychologist, except at that point, it was so blatantly clear that that was not an option. And I know, like, some people interpret that as an excuse. It just wasn't an option. I couldn't say my name, and the fear that I had in me, it like looking back now, I don't even know how I made it through like undergrad school, okay? Really. So I graduate school, and so here you are, like, okay, so what's the next step? The next step is to apply for graduate schools. Well, the quote, I never had a mentor because I was too scared to talk. It had gotten that severe. I had had bad experiences with professors being harsh on my speech. So at that point, I'm out of school and I tell myself I'm taking a year off, okay? So during that time, I have a job at a bar as a waitress, and I'm actually doing a lot of traveling. And then I'm struck again. What am I going to do? And at this point, my speech is very labored. It's severe. Okay, so I could get the bright idea. I'm gonna be a substitute teacher. Okay, and the weird thing about me is even in my most severe like stages, I've always chosen some kind of job that requires a lot of speaking. Okay, I don't know what it is. Okay, so I start to substitute teach. And interestingly, I could hide it really, really well.
How? How? Because you mentioned earlier that you were covert for a while, and then you mentioned right now that you were able to hide it. And obviously, you're pretty overt with your stuttering. So how did you pull that off?
Looking back, it's amazing. Through word substitution, through circumlocution, through pulling any trick, through coughing, through anything. I mean, pulling anything that you need to do to not have repetition. Now, there were times kids caught on, okay? But by the end of the day, I had a raging headache. My jaws hurt. My chest hurt. Everything hurt. It was physically hard. At that point, my parents, they gave me the biggest gift that actually saved my life. They sent me to a intensive stuttering management is the key program. It's in you may have heard of it. It's in Salt Lake City. I don't know if you know Tom Gerster. He ran a program there. It was the University of Utah Stuttering Management Program, and it was based off of the successful stuttering management program by Dr. Dorvin Breitenfeld and Cheney Washington. My parents sent me there. I was 26 years old, and at that point, I had secondaries that would blow your mind. I couldn't speak. I was pounding on things. I was yelling. I had a hard eye blinking, and I mean, I still do now, and I believe it'll always be right at the surface there. But it's a 28-day program, and it's the hardest thing I've ever done in my life. Except it saved my life and actually gave me a real life.
What do you mean it saved your life?
It saved my life because the depression, the sadness, the there was no turning. There was nowhere up from that point. My stuttering, if you could see the video, it would blow your mind. Mm-hmm. The depression and the just completely shut down. And it's why I have such an understanding and an open heart for people who stutter, because I've been there. I've seen the ugly, dirty side, and I also know that you can come out on the other end still stuttering and have a happy life. So at that point, it was bad. I went to this 28-day program, the philosophy behind it is managing your stuttering, maintenance versus fluency shaping. A huge part of the program is desensitization. And desensitizing that fear, that core, that gut reaction. And I did that for 28 days. So yeah, it was hardcore. It was
intense.
It was intense. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I came out changed. Except I also knew, I very well knew I could fall right back into those avoidance behaviors too, because I've seen a lot of people who do go through these programs, and the fear comes back, the old thinking, the old haunting. And the old, I don't want to show my stuttering. And then you end up exactly where you were at. And I left there knowing that. And I made a decision at that point that that was not an option for me. And I'm 12 years out. And my life has completely changed. I literally had to learn how to do everything over again. Everything from making a simple phone call to anything that involves speech. And in that, I've found a strength and pride. I'm proud of what I've done, and I want other people to be able to pull that strength that I know that they inherently have. It's there. And I just don't think that they know how to pull it out. And I'll tell you too, the one thing that really helped me, like, is when I saw a confidence stutterer. Now, I had never seen that in my life. Now, yes, my dad does stutter, but remember that he's covert. So I've only seen him really have repetitions a few times, okay? So up until that point, I had never seen somebody hold their head up high and just stutter without apology. I've only seen weird characters on television who are scared and weak and insecure, okay? So I see this man, and he's just standing there, stuttering, looking at me, and I thought, wow, what is this, okay? And it blew my mind, and I thought, I want that. I want to be that. And I think everyone can. It's there. It's hard, though. It's hard. It's hard to keep your eyes up when you know someone's looking at you weird. It's hard to, it's hard. It's hard.
It's hard. How do you react to that, because it seems like you're really focused on managing and just being comfortable in your skin. So how do you react when somebody does look at you weird or looks like they're judging you?
First of all, I won't. Even if I have fear or if I'm uncomfortable, the difference now is I don't change how I behave, okay, no matter what. And so I don't lose eye contact, one. Two, I have to question, am I interpreting their reaction wrong, okay? Mm-hmm. Maybe they just don't understand me, okay? And they're squinting, okay? Or how do I? Here, there are blatant times that people laugh, and I tell them, I'm a person who stutters. Or if somebody's intention is not to hurt me, I'll go a bit easier, except I'll actually stutter more at that point. Mm-hmm. So they understand I stutter. And also, in turn, I'm like keeping myself in check too. Okay? So it actually is helping them and me. So I'll actually throw in fake stuttering when I really don't need to. It's a delicate balance. I find now that situations I may have been in the past of, and I understand it, of not being able to defend yourself and being so at the control of other people and so emotionally tied to their reaction. I understand that. And I'm grateful I had somebody to show me how to break that. And I completely admire the people who don't go to a program and actually do it on their own. Because I remember reading early on about this desensitization thing, and I thought, what are they talking about? What is this? Like, even the idea, like, it was, what is that? I actually had somebody show me how, and I think that in this whole stuttering world, hear the same questions and concerns over and over. How do I make a phone call? How do I do this? The problem is that there's nobody to show someone how. They literally don't know how. Does that make sense, or am I rambling on?
No, that makes complete sense. I think what you're talking about is that people who stutter need to have confident role models.
Yes.
Because having somebody model confident stuttering shows the person how, which is just what you're talking about. So that's a great point.
Mm-hmm. And two, it's actually very powerful to stand there and let somebody watch you. And I know it may sound a bit like what, but in that moment, you're actually taking your own control back. You're taking your own dignity back, and you're telling them that this is me and it's okay. Now, keep in mind too, that may not mean you're not scared though. You may be scared still, and that's okay. I'm not convinced that fear will ever completely leave. I'm not. I believe it's in my DNA at this point. I don't know, but I do believe, and I have seen it, that somebody can be proud and can stutter. I've seen it. I hear a lot of like people and they're hopeless, and I understand it. I do.
You know, just going back to what you just said a moment ago about, standing there in the moment and sharing that stuttering with the listener. I had a conversation similar to this, a month or six weeks ago with somebody on Stutter Social, and he talked about the intimacy of that moment. And when you're sharing that stuttering moment with somebody, you're sharing something very intimate and very personal. And I think that's one of the most personal things that we can do, is allow that to be shared with somebody else, because that's very vulnerable, right?
No, definitely. And I think that once you start to do it more and more, that actually your comfort at intimacy in general starts to calm down a little bit more, and you feel comfortable in a spot here, and then another one, and then another one. It's just, I think, a process that takes, I think it takes a long, long time. I mean, how do you feel like right now? Are you at your like key heyday, or you're here. I guess you're over too. Mm-hmm. So here, do you still have fear?
Absolutely. I absolutely do. I think I have it not as much as I used to, but I have that fear of being negatively judged. And I think that that's human nature, you know, as a person who stutters. I fear that somebody's going to think that I'm less than adequate, or that I have some type of an intelligence deficiency, or that, you know, I'm not emotionally sound. So yeah, I have those moments of fear, and I think sometimes those moments of fear also morph into shame a little bit. And when that happens, that's when I find myself slipping back into those covert ways.
No, what you just talked about, like the actual shame of having fear, okay? No. When I came out of my program, I rode it hard. Like, I gave myself no room for, like, no substitutions. I would not, because I was so scared to go back to those old behaviors. I would go out door to door and, like, do surveys. Like, I would go to schools and give speeches, all these things. But at that time, I refused to acknowledge I still had fear. Because for me, at that time, I think if I acknowledged I had fear, the whole structure I had built may have crumbled. So I think it served me for that time. I maybe even got a bit out of hand in terms of, like, I would actually kind of enjoy watching the listener squirm at my stuttering. And I mean, in psychological terms, I was taking the control back and turning it around. Okay. And I understand that now. Then it was all new, but for that time, the denial of fear served me. I understand now that admitting the fear is healthy, and it's normal, and it's okay. But for me, I just cannot change my behavior. I walk directly into that fear, and I have to. I don't feel as I used to be a steam roller, because I didn't want to go back. So now I'm a bit more laxed, like you and I had talked about, like, not feeling the need to, like, fly our flag.
Yep.
And what that means to me is, like, it means this: if I'm tired, okay, like stuttering, I don't know for you, except it takes a lot of energy for me. And at the end of the day, my head might hurt, or I'm just tired. And now, if that means letting my husband order our food, I don't care. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, 8 years ago, it'd be like, heck no, I will order my food and they will watch me. But now though, I'm very aware of why I'm doing this. Okay. Like if I'm doing that 2% of the time, whatever. Okay.
Right.
Now if I'm doing it to hide it, that for me is another story. Or if so, I just am very aware of why I'm doing it, and I'm honest. There's times I avoid things, and it's not so much out of fear. It's like I just don't want to deal with it. And if I'm doing that a little bit compared to the whole whatever. So yeah, I try hard. I do the best I can. And all I know is the life I lead now compared to the life I did is, it's a new life. Like and I don't mean to sound dramatic, except I literally was reborn. Mm-hmm. And I felt that, and I got to experience the feeling of like being able to have a new start. And that's amazing. And sometimes I forget about that. And I go, wait a minute, think about that. Like, you wouldn't even call to order a pizza, man. Like, look at this. And so the people I do talk to who are like slowly like turning over if they choose, it's a process, and it's a little step, a new step. And and here I blatantly stutter, and I stutter a lot. But my life is, I have a new life. I mean, like, it's pretty amazing. And I'm actually stuttering a lot in my life. It's just how I handle and how I present it. I don't think that we have a choice as to whether we stutter or not, but we can choose what kind of stutterer that we're going to be, and that's a big deal. Yeah, that was a long spiel about fear. Yeah, no, the fear's there. It's there. Not always, except I know if I go into a social situation, the moment that my mouth opens up, everyone's ears open up like a bunch of umbrellas. And there's actually I find some pride in that now. And it may sound strange, except I'm actually kind of proud to represent the stuttering world. And I think you probably are too. I mean, look what you do, and it's a huge deal. I mean, do you feel proud, like, to represent?
You know what? Seeing as how you put it like that, yes. Damn it.
Yes.
I feel proud. I feel proud to represent, because when we put ourselves out there, not just for people who stutter, but we're good role models for anybody that's got, you know, something that makes us vulnerable. And I think secretly most people wish that they could put themselves out out there the way that we do every day. And yeah, I think that is something to be proud of.
Mm-hmm. And I like to show somebody, hey, you're understandings of what a person who stutter are completely wrong. And I've had situations where you can actually see it on their faces. It may start out a bit like rough, and then you slowly, like the intimacy that you were talking about earlier, that intimacy builds, and you can see that you've changed their idea of like what this speech thing is. Mm-hmm. I am proud. My mom and dad, it's strange, I called them in the last few days, and I was like, listen, I need you to tell me how you feel about me being as open as I am now. I said, I understand if it embarrasses you or if it makes you uncomfortable. I understand this because not everyone is going to be comfortable. So we had a candid talk, my mom and I did, and then my dad and I did, which is interesting because he actually stutter, so I don't need to explain to him the ins and outs of how it feels. But my mother's response was, I said, Mom, are you embarrassed? I said, would you rather me be covert more? And she said, Amy, the way that you've changed and you are happy now? She said, absolutely not. She said, as your mother, though, when it would hurt her to see people's reactions to me. So not that I embarrassed her. She felt that pain for me. And I, being a mother now, I can understand that. My dad's response is, he's happy I'm overt, and he's proud of me. And so it was interesting, and I don't even know why, that my dad, who actually I have a very close relationship with, I had never asked him, how do you feel about my speech? So we had that talk, and it was good, and I'm happy about that.
You seem happy. Mm-hmm. I can tell it in your tone and in your confidence and in your pride. You seem happy, and that radiates.
And I want other people to be like here. I wish everyone could go to that program that I went to. It was amazing, and it was hard, and I believe that it's constant upkeep. I mean, every now and then every now and then, I will substitute a word, like it'll just come out and I'm like, look at that. Like, and then I always go back and I redo it. Oh, I meant to say this or whatever. It's, I really don't know if it ever completely leaves. I know the secondaries I have are like under the skin. I mean, they're like waiting to pop out. Yeah, the stuttering experience for me has been it's evolved into a good thing. It's actually evolved into an asset, if you can believe that. Now, if you were to ask me that before I had gone to that program, I would have thought you were crazy. But
you know, unfortunately, we are running out of time, and it seems like we could probably talk for hours. But I have. And no, I don't think that's crazy. When you say asset, you know, just what popped into my mind is that we're memorable. You know, people remember us, you know, good or bad, you know, for our stuttering, you know, so we become memorable. And many times that is an asset, because in this crazy busy world, you know, there are times when we want people to remember us, and you know, I think you're right that is an asset. But before we get off track, there was one there was one more thing that I wanted to ask you in our wind down mode. Do you worry that your daughter will stutter?
That's interesting. I do. I would be lying if I didn't. I don't want that for her, but I know that if she does that, I can present it to her in the most healthy way. Like I'll present it in the way that it won't be a big deal. That'll be just a part of her, and she'll grow up seeing me advertise and hold my head up and stutter confidently. And so that part, I'm not worried about that part. Do I want it for her? No, no, no. My heart bleeds a little bit. I hope not. But if so, I'm prepared to show her the best way that I know how. So, it's my sweet baby girl. So, yeah. We'll see. No. You better believe, though. I think for any parent who stutters and has a kid, it's in the back of their head. Like, oh, geez, is this going to happen? I'm just grateful that I'm in the place I am now. Because had I had her 13 years ago, and she stuttered, it'd been a different story. So I'm prepared. So I'll show her the only way I know how now.
And you know what? Speaking of story, thank you so much for sharing parts of your story. You know, like I said, I think we could go on and on. And you've been so open and so willing to share. You're going to impact a lot of lives. People are going to listen to this, and you're going to have made a big difference. So thank you for sharing.
Pam, thank you. And include closing to tell you the truth, the reason why I chose to do this now at this time is because I've been reading so much angst and depression, and there really is, even if your stuttering is severe, it can be okay. So that's why I'm doing this, and I hope you are right, and I hope that somebody hears it, and to keep your head up high, keep eye contact, and stutter your butt off, and be proud, and it's okay. So that's all I got to say about that.
And with that, this has been Women Who Stutter, Our Stories.